I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
And welcome back to Coast to Coast. George Norrie with you. Reverend Sean Whittington is an exorcist, seminarian, ghostbuster, lecturer, and teacher of paranormal studies and spiritual warfare. Sean and his wife Sharon are both survivors of extreme demonic attacks, and together they have more than 40 years of experience in the field. They founded and operate Ghost Be Gone, which is a spiritual warfare service based in Las Vegas, assisting with paranormal problems of various types and severity. Sean is a cast member on Eli Roth Presents The Legion of Exorcists on the Travel Channel and Max. The show shares the real-life experiences of six exorcists, and he also hosts the Reverend Sean Whittington's Paranormal Ministry podcast, which is live on Facebook and available on YouTube. Sean, welcome back, Reverend. How have you been?
George, how are you, sir? It's been a while. I missed you.
I miss you, too. It's been about 4 years.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to bug you. I know you're a little busy. And I don't, unless I have something really interesting to bug you about, I'd rather not bug you.
That's okay. Anytime. You've updated God, Ghosts, and the Paranormal Ministry.
Well, it's actually a completely different book. The first one was my autobiography, and the second one that just came out this past Memorial Day is actually just cases, some of the most severe demonic cases and hauntings that I've worked over the past 10 years, let's say. Stories that actually weren't able to be used on the show. So pretty severe, and they were just something I needed to get. Doing the show taught me that I needed to release this stuff and get it off my back and share the stories and experiences with people. So that's why I brought the second book out. But it's a completely different book than the first one.
Were you a paranormal investigator first or a minister first?
Paranormal investigator for many years with my wife before getting into the deliverance ministry field.
And has it been everything you expected?
Well, I'll tell you. This is your show. You know I love you and respect you. There's no wrong answer here. You tell me how you feel about this, but I know we're probably going to bring up some dark topics. And a lot of people refer to this hour as the witching hour, and I know back east I have friends listening, and they would like to. They think of this hour as the 3 o'clock, 3 a.m. back there as the demonic hour.
Right.
If you don't mind, I have a very short and very powerful prayer of protection that I can recite, and put some protection over you and I, your show, your crew, and all your listeners, if you'd like me to do that.
If you think it will help, go ahead.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. In his name, and by the power of his cross and blood, I ask Jesus to bind any evil spirits, forces, and powers of the earth, air, fire, or water, of the netherworld, and the satanic forces of nature. By the power of the Holy Spirit, and by his authority, I ask Jesus to break any curses, hexes or spells and send them back to where they came from, if it be his holy will. I beseech thee, Lord Jesus, to protect us by pouring thy precious blood on all of us here. Mr. Nuri and I, his show, his crew, and all his listeners, which thou hast shed for us, and I ask thee to command that any departing spirits leave quietly, without disturbance, and go straight to thy cross to dispose of as thou seest fit. I ask thee to bind any demonic interaction, interplay, or communications. I place all of us here under the protection of the blood of Jesus Christ, which he shed for us. Amen.
Thank you by doing that, Chuck.
You're welcome, sir.
Did you write that?
No, that's out of a beautiful book called Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity. And it's you can get it online, and it's just a really beautiful book.
How did you get involved with Eli Roth?
You know, the person that doesn't get mentioned on the screen in the credits is God. He's absolutely the definite, in my opinion, my humble opinion, the actual show creator of this show. It basically got laid into my lap, and I got a call from a producer, but actually before the pandemic. So we've been working on the project for a very long time, and I realized rather quickly on that this just was something that was being led down a path, and this was just something that God arranged. And I wish I could get him to answer that question for you, because I don't know how it all came to be, and I'm still wondering what the message is. There has to be a message here somewhere that's meant for many people to see and experience and feel from this show. I know the show's not for everybody, but we're all very proud of it, and I'm waiting to see what comes next. I don't know, but I know that wasn't a very good answer to your question, but it just came out of it. It just came out of nowhere. Just I got a call one day, and a gentleman introduced himself and said he was working on a project for a production company about demonic possession and exorcism, and would I be interested? And I just, you know, I didn't believe him at first, and then after I spoke to people that he worked with and show creators telling me their ideas and running them past me and having interviews with me, letting me tell my stories and stuff, I started to buy into it and realized that they're onto something here. It's something unlike anything I'd ever heard of before or been presented with. And before you know it, I was on board. And then here we are 2 weeks after filming. They crammed about 12 weeks of filming into like 2 weeks.
That's intense.
And we didn't really know Eli was a part of it, to be honest with you. I don't know if they purposely kept that a secret from us or not. I'm not sure. But the last day of filming, he showed up to do all of his parts and to meet us all and to let the cat out of the bag that he had put his name on and he was going to be part of the show. And that honestly blew us away. We couldn't have been a more a bigger surprise to us, but we were definitely. I'm sure if someone would have taken a picture of us, we were probably all standing there, the cast that is, with our mouths wide open and our jaws dropped down because we were when he showed up. It was definitely we didn't know.
Reverend, tell us about exorcisms and demonic possessions. I mean, I keep thinking of the movie The Exorcist. Does it really happen that way?
You know, every exorcism is different, and I know exorcists. I was just having this discussion with an exorcist the other day. I've never seen the total black eyes. I've seen the eyes rolled back. I've never seen the total black eyes. Some exorcists have never seen levitation. I've seen levitation once, but it was on a very small scale. A young girl who was possessed who couldn't move and was in a wheelchair, the actual wheelchair would move on its own while she was in it. But I haven't seen the type of levitation that you've seen in that movie, The Exorcist, even though that was based on a true story, and I'm sure all of that really happened. I haven't seen a head spinning around. I've been thrown up on. I've seen people facing the opposite direction and completely turn their head all the way around and look back at me. I've heard sounds of what sounds like every bone in a possessed person's body breaking,
cracking.
Spirit is manifested in them. But I would have to say that every exorcism is different, and some of that stuff you see, it does happen, yes.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with the Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut, and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold-Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess. The 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again. The First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances. And the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How does somebody get possessed? I mean, what do? Do they let their guard down? Because it doesn't happen to everybody.
Well, I think nowadays, the reason why it seems to be on the rise, and one of the busiest exorcism courses one can be blessed to be accepted into is the one the Vatican offers. And every diocese right now has at least one or two exorcists on their, you know, on location there. It's really out of hand right now, and different than it was, let's say, 20 years ago. I think the reason why it's so much on a rise now is because we've just gotten away from God. Humanity as a whole has gotten away from God. And that has allowed the veil to thin and be pulled down, the curtain be pulled down in some areas, and allowed the demonic to run more freely amongst us. And it's just like an out-of-control, deadly cancer now. But that's why I believe it's happening now on the scale that it is.
Will a believer, a righteous person, a God-fearing person, will they get possessed?
And that's the very sad but extremely mysterious part of some exorcisms and some possessions. I have known people like that were very holy. I knew a priest that got possessed. I've known very holy, devoutly religious people who have gotten possessed. And other exorcists will tell you that sometimes God allows that to happen because there's people in that person's life that need to witness the power and the glory of God when this person gets delivered. So I don't know. I know you and I will both get the answer to that one day when we're both in heaven. I don't know why some people like that tend to be get targeted by the demonic. Most of the cases that come across my table are people that have said the wrong thing, done the wrong thing, been at the wrong place at the wrong time, and did something to open up a doorway, make themselves a target, and have these types of things enter into their lives. But it happens that we're all a target. Clergy is the biggest target of all. I remember one of the episodes I quoted saying that every exorcist has a wanted poster hanging in hell of him wow. and her, and we have to be very careful in our families too. And I experienced that firsthand. Both my wife and I are survivors of extreme demonic attacks, and she's lucky to still be here. So it can happen to anybody, and you just have to be very, very careful and live a good life.
How do you ward them off from you, for example?
I'm blessed.
Are you concerned too, Reverend Shaw?
Well, yeah, I'm only human. You know, God gave me the emotion of being able to be frightened. I don't take my wife on cases anymore because she was lucky to survive her attack.
Oh, my God.
And the couple of attacks that I've been through were very frightening. One had me I left the deliverance ministry field for a couple of years because it had frightened me that bad. And I get a little bit of that every time the phone rings and I talk to somebody and the spidey senses go up and I truly believe that what they're telling me is true, and they are in the presence of the demonic, and I'm planning my next, how I'm going to approach this case and my plan of attack. I'm a little nervous, a little scared, but people close to me, especially that have come with me and helped me on cases, say that something happens to me when I go to these locations and I change. I don't know. I don't see myself doing that, but they say that I change. And I think I've just been a blessed person, called to this for one, but I think I'm a blessed person, and God has allowed me to be a conduit and a vessel for the Holy Spirit and other prayer warriors and angelic beings and so forth to come through and help me when I'm working these cases and on location and helping me take care of these things. I don't have any magic powers.
Have you seen a difference in someone who's been exorcised and the demon is eradicated? Do you see a difference in their personality, the way they look?
Absolutely. It's like night and day. Absolutely. It's pretty amazing. The thing that we struggle with now, because it seems to be borderline out of hand, the thing that a lot of clergy and colleagues of mine in the field struggle with now is two things. One, complete integration. At one time, we thought it was impossible. We thought if a person got possessed, that the evil spirit, the unclean spirit, is so unclean and so foul that the body, the longer it stayed in there, the body would just decay away. But now we feel that these invading unclean spirit can actually push the original soul out. And if they're left in this person's body long enough, they completely take over. And then what you have is a person walking around that's actually a demon, but they just look like a regular person. And if you see some of the violence that people are dishing out to one another out there in the world, you have to wonder if that's not really the case going on. I've had people walk by me on the street that I don't even know, and I have the clergy collar on, and just yell at me at the top of their lungs in my ear, Jesus wasn't real, and then just walk off. Like, they didn't just do that. They just so matter-of-factly walk away from me. That's very disturbing.
Really is, my gosh. What is a demon, Sean?
I like to keep it simple and just refer to them as a fallen angel. I believe they were once angels.
What do they want?
Well, they don't want to be under God's rule. They want to do whatever they want to do. They want to just do whatever they want to do, and they hate us. To just say that they hate us is pretty inadequate. I can't really adequately put it into terms how this level of hatred they have for humans. But they would rather be anywhere. They made the choice to follow Satan and battle God for supremacy of the heavens and lost. But they would rather be anywhere than in hell, because they suffer too. So their goal is to possess a human body, and if they can take a life and destroy a human life in the process of possessing and capturing someone's soul, then they prefer that. That's a feather in their cap. But they just want to. They know that the war has already been won, but they would like to try and win as many battles on the way to end of days and to when they finally are put forever, where they're going to spend eternity in hell. Before they get locked away down in there, they want to wreak as much havoc on humanity as they can.
Yourself included, why would anybody want to be an exorcist?
I got drugged into it, George, kicking and screaming. I didn't plan on it at all. My wife and I were just trying to have fun many, many years ago, just paranormal investigators.
It's not where you wake up and go, I want to be an exorcist. That doesn't happen that way.
Not at all. I still do that. I still wake up every day and pray that I never have to take authority over another exorcism again. It's not fun, but we had something follow us home from a case many years ago, and it took residence up in our home here for about 2 months, and I didn't know what I was dealing with. I didn't know what to do, so I reached out to the paranormal community, and God bless them, for once they came through for me, and they introduced me to my then mentor, who took me under her wing and by the hand and walked me through everything and helped me fight whatever it was that was in my home out. And then she saw something in me that I didn't see and said, I think you're being called to this. And if you're interested in continuing the training, I can get you the appropriate training and see what happens. And at that time I said yes, only because I wanted to be ready if it ever happened again. But then so many wonderfully divine things had happened to me since me saying yes, that I eventually realized that I truly was being called to this.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Johnny B. Good, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.